It is good to see everyone today on this December 30th, 2018, as we continue to praise God for leaving the glory of heaven and humbling himself and coming to earth. A message I have entitled today, The Great Blessing of Humility. And we're going to look in the scriptures at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11. But before we do, I just want to share with you what got me here. Back in November, I began studying and preparing for the Christmas series, and I got hung up on Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and one phrase. And that phrase was, he humbled himself. And William, as I just kept running that through my mind, there were times in meditation I just get filled with tears, because there is absolutely no way I can even attempt to explain to you all or to myself what that means. Because I cannot understand all that he left. You know, and I attempted to. We saw several messages where I taught about how he was the great I am and the timelessness of God from everlasting to everlasting. He is. I spoke about his glory. He said, I'm going back to the glory I had with you, Father, before the world began. And we studied his doxa in the Greek, and the brightness and the purity and the worship and all of those things. And still, you know, I just kept asking the Lord, please take me deeper and take me deeper into the humility of you transcending, you know, heaven to earth, you know, from the throne of glory to a manger. And as I studied that, the Lord took me in many different directions. And what we're looking at today, we're going to begin to look at. And you're promised something in humility. And I'll show it to you in a moment in the scripture, but Holy Spirit lead us. Philippians 2 verse 6 says, Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to claim equal status with God. That's John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and allowed himself to be made in the likeness of men, flesh. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. One of the messages in this series, good Lord willing, is that true humility always leads to death. The death of self. See, self's got to die. Humility always leads to death. The death of self. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, we thank you for this great privilege to study your truth. And Father, as we're going to look at this definition in a minute, we all need to find out who we are. Who we really are. And it's only through the examination of your Holy Spirit and through the light of your glorious gospel shining unto our hearts that we really learn and understand who we are and what we need from you. So, Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of sin. And I ask, Lord Jesus, for a cleansing of those sins that I confess unto you in my prayer closet out loud. Because they're real. And I need to say it. Because your word said, say them. That confession is not a silent Greek. It's out loud. Speaking audibly. But I want to praise you. I don't have to confess to a man. But Father, as I do, I ask for forgiveness of sin and a cleansing to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your Spirit and filled with your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask today that you be our teacher, you alone. And Father, that you just speak to hearts and minds whatever we need to hear from you. And in the quietness of this moment, Lord, as we're on the threshold of another new year, right now at this moment, we all are going to pause in silence and in our hearts say, Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from you today? Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from you today? Holy Spirit, take over. We thank you and we praise you. In your name, amen. Back in November, when the Spirit was moving upon me, I reread and restudied and continue to do. What you're getting through this is a combination of Andrew Murray and Watchman Nee. But Larry and Judah gave me a book 4 or 5 years ago called Humility and Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. And just now when I prayed that prayer, and you don't have to confess what God said to you, but when I prayed that prayer and I said, Lord Jesus, what I need to hear from you, he simply said, give up. You know, just give up. You know, we need to give up. A lot of times we struggle. A lot of times we try to do things. The Lord's just saying, man, Leo, just give up. Just give up. Absolute surrender. All right, here it is. Look at what it says now. He said he made himself of no reputation, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Christ humbled himself. Now, this is the choice of the Lord, and this is, if you want to say it, the Lord's effort, what the Lord did. He humbled himself. Now, that's what Christ did. What did God do? Now, look at what it says. He humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient unto death, the death of the cross, and then God highly exalted him. So I want to show you a cause and effect for Christ. Christ humbled himself, God exalted him. We're going to look at that word in a moment, exalt. We're going to look at that word humble. But he humbled himself and God exalted him. Now I want you to understand something, and I'm getting ahead of myself, and this is in another message, but we'll get to it. There are only two people that can exalt you, either God or yourself. And you definitely don't want to exalt yourself. You want to leave all the exalting unto God. But I want you to understand that principle. Christ humbled himself, God exalted him. So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to study humiliation and exaltation a little bit today. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, the scripture says this in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves and humble yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now, it's kind of like Philippians 2, where we just were. You know, let everyone esteem other, the needs of others more important than your own. Okay, and we're going to look at that. And be clothed with humility. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Jerry and I got the memo. Nobody else did, but we've got our shirts on today. And Jerry, let everybody see your shirt. Now, Jerry and I have got the same shirt on. I want y'all to know that. But what I want you to understand, neither Jerry nor I woke up with these shirts on. You have to be clothed with a shirt. All right, so understand that Greek there. If it says to be clothed with humility, I've got to have a conscious effort to put on my humility. Like I had to have a conscious effort to put on my shirt. All right, so understand that. We're talking about effort here. I know you're saved by grace. I know that the Holy Spirit does a lot of work in your life. But there are some things we've got to do. And they do require our effort in the flesh and in the spirit. So you got to be clothed with humility. For God resists the prideful and gives grace to the humble. This is a great verse. We'll study it one day soon. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, that's the principle I just read to you. Christ humbled himself, God exalted him. You humble yourself, God exalts you. Now, this is an introductory message, so I'm giving you all kind of stuff, and we'll come back and rifle shot it later. Understanding that scripture, you saw there are two people you need to humble yourself under. Number one, you need to humble yourself under God. That's where we're going to spend the first part of this series. Number two, we humble ourselves in front of each other, in our position with each other. But you'll never humble yourself around people if you're not right humbling yourself around God. So that's why we're going to start out with humbling ourselves before the Lord. Now go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, verse 10, the scripture says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So here we go again. It's my effort to humble myself. I need to humble myself. I want you to say that with me. I need to humble myself. Say it again. I need to humble myself. One of the great problems when it comes to humility in the Christian life, we don't realize how badly we need to humble ourselves. Because we don't know where we are in our position with Christ Jesus. Now, let me just give you, before we get into the definition of humility, let me give you a little general thing that is mine. Humility is a positional mindset. All right? Humility is a positional mindset or a positional mentality. Now, let me give you the definition of humility. The Bible says there, humble yourself. So, what is humility in the Greek? And there are several, but I'll give you the root word. It's tapeino, T-A-P-E-I-N-O. And this is one sentence. Tapeino is a lowliness of mind. So write that down. A lowliness of mind. In which we correctly esteem ourselves, and that esteem yourself is the same thing as view ourselves. A lowliness of mind in which we correctly esteem ourselves or view ourselves in our position before God. And you can put a period there. Humility is a lowliness of mind in which we correctly esteem ourselves or view ourselves in our position before God, period. But in parentheses, add as our Creator and Redeemer. God has served two functions in my life. He's created me and He saved me. I owe everything physical to God. I owe everything spiritual to God. I owe everything temporal in this life to God. I owe everything eternal in the life to come to God. I owe everything to God. We're going to study this. Because the more you realize you owe everything to God, all, the more humble you become. And you get yourself in a correct position in your own mind in how you stand before the Lord. And we'll understand this better by and by. But what I want you to understand is humility sets us in the correct position within our personal relationship with Jesus. It sets us in the correct position where we can enjoy intimacy and sweet fellowship. Because God, I already read it, resists pride. The problem is, pride exists in our life and we don't even realize. Because we define pride in a certain way, we define humility in a certain way. Oh, I think I'm better than everybody else. That's pride. I think I can do something better than everybody else. That's pride. I judge people all the time. That's pride. Yeah, those are extreme examples of pride, and they're blatant pride, but there's more pride than that. And we're going to see that in the Scripture. So humility is a positional mindset. It is a mentality. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. And let me show you what we have to guard against. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the scripture says this, Paul speaking. For I say through the grace given unto me. And that's awesome right there. You got to realize how much grace has been given unto you. You need to attempt to. That's another thing we can't fully comprehend, how graceful God's been toward us. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I warn you, every man, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So anytime you're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think, you're not walking in humility. You say, well, Brother Leo, give me an example of that. Well, anytime I go out to do something on my own without God, I'm thinking too highly of myself. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Leo? Well, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So anytime I leave the Lord out of the decision-making process, I'm thinking too highly of my ability to make a decision. Anytime I leave the Lord out of my choice-making decisions, I'm thinking too highly of my ability to make a choice. Anytime I leave the Lord out of how I'm to raise my children, anytime I'm to leave the Lord out of how I'm to conduct myself in my job, anytime I leave the Lord out, I am thinking too highly of myself. We're going to get to that next week. Dependence on God moment by moment is a sure sign of humility. When I'm not depending on God, you know what I'm doing? I'm acting independently of God. And that's pride. And none of this is in my notes, but it's in my notes for other sermons. But God keeps throwing us forward, so I'm just following Him. I give up, Lord. It's all in here, so you bring it out. But I'm one of these orderly people that has everything written down and circled, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. And that's how I'm comfortable doing it. So to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. Now this mindset, now this is a principle, you need to write this down. That's being high-minded. When you think too highly of yourself, that's being high-minded. That's a scriptural, that's a biblical word, okay? We'll go to those scriptures. Being high-minded is the foundation of your fallen human nature. You never knew that. I never knew that. Being high-minded is the foundation of your fallen human nature. Thinking more of yourself than you should. Now let me show you the origin of high-mindedness. We call it pride, and we will call it pride in the future, but right now we're trying to lay a foundation. Go with me to Isaiah 14. Oh, I'm as good as anybody else. I go to church. Well, my mom and daddy, this is how they believe. This is how I believe. This is how my grandparents believe. All it's being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and having real experiences with God and all that stuff. You know, that's charismatic. That's Pentecost. Now, I'm a good whatever I am. You know, and fill in the blank with your religion. But I'm here to tell you, if you're listening on this website or you're anywhere close, your religion will never save you.
No, it will not.
Isaiah 14, here is self-exaltation. Here is being high-minded. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, the prophet states, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit, I will ascend, I will be like God." Now, that's the mindset of the devil. Now, what did I tell you humility was? Humility is a positional mindset. Where I am positionally in my relationship with God. Let me tell you something right now. I'm below God. I am way below God. I cannot ascend above God, and I don't even want to be on the same level with God. But there are times in my life I put myself there. When I say, "God, I know you're leading me this way, but I'm going to go that way. I'm going to go ahead and get ahead of it. I'm going to go ahead and handle it myself. I know you're saying be still, but I'm tired of being still. I know you want me to trust you with my son, but I'm not going to trust you with my son. I'm going to make the decision about what needs to be done for Daniel tomorrow. I know you want me to trust you with this ministry, but Lord, I get nervous as a cat every Saturday night. And Sunday morning, I know you've never failed me," but we put ourselves in a position where God does kind of become our co-pilot, or we want him just to be a silent backseat ride. Amen. And so positionally, we have ascended ourselves. So you can write that down, self-exaltation. I'm giving you all these synonyms. High-mindedness, self-exaltation. Look at what the devil said. The devil said, "I will ascend." He says, "I will be like the Most God." He says, "I will exalt myself." Now, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." So let's write that one down. I will exalt my throne above. When the spirit of pride is at work, you need to realize you're being your own God. You're exalting your throne. You're being your own God. You're calling your own shots. You're being the authority in your life. I remind myself every morning, William, before I get out of bed, I am part of the blood-bought redeemed. Lord, you have purchased me with your own blood. I am no longer my own. I belong to you. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And you are no longer your own. This is not my life. This life belongs to you. You purchased it. And even before then, this life belongs to you. You created it.
And we're going to see that.
So when the spirit of pride is at work, I am my own God, I am my own authority. And what's the hymn, Sandra? I will follow Jesus, I will follow Jesus. No, we're singing, I will follow me. Well, Brother Leo, I got upset, and so I made this decision. Brother Leo, the walls were closing in, so I made this choice. I did what at the time I thought was best. Do you notice what I keep saying here? Well, let me read it to you. I will ascend, I will sit, I will be like, I will exalt. When we start saying I a lot, we're in trouble. When you look back over some situation in your life and I keeps being the pronoun that's being used, you probably messed up. You say, well, Brother Leo, if I'm not going to say I, what should I be saying? The Lord led me to this. The Lord stopped me in my tracks and said, follow me this way. The Lord said to be still. So you're going to see how pride is a spirit of independence away from God in the coming weeks. Humility is dependent. I had a great message on that I was going to preach today. And the Lord convicted me yesterday morning. You need to go back and just define humility today and do that message next week. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. So that's the first example. Now I want you to notice what he said in verse 14, part B. I will be like the Most High God. Does everybody see that? Mm-hmm. All right, now go to Genesis chapter 3. And this is your fallen human nature. We're going to know humility when we get finished with this in 5 or 6 or 8 weeks, I'm telling you. Genesis chapter 3. The devil is speaking, the serpent is speaking to Eve, and he says this. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. Here's that phrase again. And you will be like a God. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What he's saying there is you will elevate yourself to the level of God. God doesn't want you to eat that fruit because he wants to keep you down here. If you eat of the fruit, you're going to get up here status-wise and knowledge-wise, and you'll be like God. And so pride is a positional sin. You exalt yourself. You place yourself in your position with God somewhere where you should not be. Elevate yourself to the level of God in your own life. You say, Brother Leo, I wouldn't do that. I know God's the creator. I know God's the redeemer. I know I can't save myself. There are people listening to this website right now that think they can save themselves. Their religion teaches them they can save themselves. They're taught that if they do enough good works, they'll go to heaven. So that puts you on the level of God right there. There are many folks that believe that. Now let me show you the third example of pride. See, pride before the world began. Then this example right here, this is our human nature, all right? This is the foundation of our human nature. Eve ate the fruit to be like God. Now, let's go to the end of the church age. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, we're told this. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of the Lord, shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin, the Antichrist, will be revealed, the son of perdition. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Notice that word. Above all, exalts himself, or that is worshiped, so that he as God will sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem, showing himself that he is God. So self-exaltation is a form of opposing God, and we'll see it at its height when the Antichrist comes back to earth, or comes to earth. So anytime you're lifting yourself up, even if you don't realize it, you're standing in opposition unto God. And it's very, very serious. I don't want to oppose God. I want to be on God's side. I told Patty we were coming back from a ball game the other day. And I said, Patty, you know, it's a great thing here in Wayne County. It's generational. You know, you got kids that played, their mamas played, their grandmamas played, everybody played. And I just think it's wonderful. And Patty and I love Miss Susan Gallion, who's, you know, now a grandmother, and she does so much for our kids. And she and Daniel loves Susan Gallion, and she loves Daniel. And I said, you know, it's just wonderful to have that. And I said, I praise God we came to Wayne County and we're able to be a part of that. And to have Daniel so loved by this community, athletically. I said, but another thing I praise God for. I praise God he did not have to grow up and play in Charleston. And Patty goes, well, why is that? And I named four or five of my teammates. I said, because it would have killed me if Daniel hadn't been as good as their kids. I'd have took it personal. And they would have felt like they got me back. You know, like, you know, in high school, you thought you were all that and you were better than me in high school, but look at my kid now. My kid's better than your kid. And you have those thoughts. Now, maybe none of y'all have ever had those thoughts. That's fine. You know, maybe you're out there hoping Julie's kid from high school does a whole lot better than my kid does. Maybe I'm the only sinner up here. But that's pride. I mean, pride's everywhere, man. It is everywhere. Might just be an ounce. Might be a pound. Might be a whole ton of it. But it opposes God. Any way, shape, or form. So, when you're talking about humbling yourself, I want you to understand something. When you're talking about lowering yourself, and the reason it's a continual battle, it's going to be a battle as long as you have got your fallen human nature dragging around, as Paul said, the body of this death. Because it's part of your fallen human nature and it is the foundation of your fallen human nature. Now, understand what happened to Garden of Eden. At the Garden of Eden, Satan brought pride to earth. Now understand what happened at Bethlehem. At Bethlehem, Jesus brought humility to earth. And therein lies the great battle of the ages, the pride of Satan and the humility of Christ. So if I'm going to be Christ-like, I've got to clothe myself with the nature of Christ's humility. And that's what we've got to study. But what I want you to understand, the mistake we make in the mindset, and I've said this for years. I've told Patty things like, man, I've got to humble myself in this situation. And a lot of times I'll say, I'm going to humble myself, keep my mouth shut. And so it's almost like I'm here and this is where I need to be. And I'm correct at this level. But I need to humble myself and lower myself. Well, that's not what it means. When it says to lower yourself, it means the correct level really is here. But every day we're up here because we've got this fallen human nature. So we need to be in a continual mental spiritual state of lowering ourselves. Now, I'm going to explain to you what that means in the future. Because it's got a lot to do with realizing how much you need to depend on God. See, faith and humility are married. Faith, humility, and dependence. And we're going to study that. But let me take you back to Philippians 2. And let me close with this. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, grab that phrase again, he humbled himself. I want you to understand, everybody always talks about Jesus Christ being the perfect example. He was the perfect example, he never sinned. He was the perfect example of righteousness, he never sinned. He was the perfect example of love, he always loved. He was the perfect example of forgiveness, on the cross he forgave. Understand, he was the perfect example of humility. So as we study this, we're going to study the life of Christ. And many times the Lord said something like this, I come here to do nothing on my own. But whatever my Father says, that I do. Humility. Okay, we'll break that down. But I want you to understand, we're going to study several topics. And I just want to share with you some of the catchphrases. Number one, I want one of the aspects of humility. I need to lose myself in the overwhelming greatness of who God is. We want to lose ourselves in the overwhelming greatness of who God is. You know what's so wonderful? Nobody has to know who I am. There's a great freedom in that. You know, when this message goes out, all anybody needs to know about this message is what scriptures we're going to and what points are being made, and let's leave it in the hands of the Holy Spirit. That's all that needs to be known. So you want to lose yourself in the overwhelming greatness of who God is, and there's a great freedom in that. Takes a lot of energy to keep exalting yourself. And listen to this now. You're going to see how much energy. You can wear yourself out continually lifting yourself up. I'll say it again because it's a great quote. You can wear yourself out by trying to continually lift yourself up. And it just came to me. But I'll write it down after the service because I'm going to use it again. All right, let me give you another one. I need to come to the realization of how much I need God moment by moment. You know what Colossians says, Cameron? It says, by Him all things were created, and by Him all things are held together. We always talk about how God created, but we never talk about how He holds them together. And if He removes His hand, all creation's going to just explode. And not only that, William, but also as a redeemer. We always want to say, how God saved me, God saved me, God saved me. Well, guess what Peter says? I am kept by the power of God until that day. So a huge part of humility is understanding our dependence. He's not only creator, he's sustainer. He's not only redeemer, he's sustainer. We'll study the sustainer God. Another aspect is a true realization of my nothingness so that God can be my, quote, all in all. That's straight out of the Bible. Let God be your all in all. A true realization of my nothingness so that God can be my all in all. For me to get to nothingness, it's a level. We're going to study that. John the Baptist said it. I must decrease so that he can increase. So every day there's an area in your life where I need to decrease. Well, I want people to think a certain way about me. Well, I want people to think a certain way about my God. I want folks to remember the name of Jesus. And then I've already said this. There is a great freedom in possessing the grace of humility and it being active in your life. It leads to three things. It leads to contentment, peace, and rest. Contentment, peace, and rest. Patty and I were watching one of those ball games. I can't remember which one we were watching. And one lady had on the shirt of one team, and she was sitting amid 30 other people that were on the other team, and her team did good. Man, she was up doing all this stuff, and they had the cameras on her. And Patty said, those people are going to fight before they get out of there. Our culture is saturated with pride. It is saturated with pride. One of the great things in life is that has kept me humble is being a South Carolina Gamecock fan, a Washington Redskins fan, and an Atlanta Braves fan. I know how to pull for teams that lose. And lose a lot. But our culture is saturated with pride. Every message we get is a message of how to elevate our own self. So we're going to study this. I'm going to ask Judy to come play. And as Judy plays this morning, I know I've given you a lot of general things. I'm going to ask you to just focus on part of this, these scriptures as the Spirit leads you. And ask God to bring you into a greater understanding of your position before Him. Who you really are before God in a way that will free you up from maybe some things you're trying to handle in life. Or maybe some answers you think you've got to come up with. Or some fleshly energy that you're wearing yourself out with. And you don't even realize what you're doing and why you're doing it. But how a spirit of humility in that certain area of your life will bring contentment and peace and rest. So with eyes closed and heads bowed, let's take a few moments and meet with Jesus. Thank you.